Oh,
Did you
no
hear that?
way.
Yeah.
That's new.
By continuing to be in the meeting, you are consenting to be recorded.
There you go.
I consent. Now, I
Oh, there you
think we
go.
know we're being recorded just quietly.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a secret. It's a scam. It's a
Yeah.
secret podcast. Nobody knows. G'day everyone, this is episode 20 of AT3 and we are your Aussie Top 3. My name is Greg, aka Captain Boomerang, and as always, I'm joined by my fellow Aussies, the Stinger, Steve Ray, and little Sherby, Stacey Herbert. What's happening, guys?
Evening. How are we today?
Good, good.
Doing better than you, Steve.
Yeah, well, you know, living the gimmick.
Yeah.
Steve is just recovering after an inferno match with a hot water bottle.
Hot water bottle. Yes, dare say the hot water bottle won too.
Yeah, oh, that's it. That's,
I'm just supposed to be a ref. I don't get involved in the match like that.
He took the inferno match a little literally, Steve. Yeah. Yeah. But no,
it's fair to say I tapped out.
Yeah. No, check your water bottles, everyone. It's
yeah.
Steve will be a testament to the fact that it's not fun if they explode all over you. So
no.
But hopefully we can alleviate some of that with tonight's show, Steve. This is our illustrious, easy for me to say, 20th episode. And we're looking at some of the greatest returns in wrestling.
Hey, I'm still waiting for the Chris Benoit return. I think that would be fantastic.
That will be the most shocking WWE moment ever.
Ever.
You just keep waiting on that return, Steve.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, so best returns or greatest returns in wrestling is what we're on about tonight. So, but, Stacey, as always, we go ladies first. So what's made your list for this particular topic?
Okay, so I'm going to start with quite a recent return, actually, in the scheme of things. And I think it might be on at least one of your lists.
Yeah, I'm guessing I've got it.
Yeah, I'm sorry in advance, but I have to go with none other than Edge at Royal Rumble 2020.
Yep, totally agree.
Yeah, sorry.
That is right.
Look, there's a reason why this makes like the top of our list. He returned from a absolutely life-threatening career-ending neck injury. And I think I can speak for every wrestling fan when I say no one thought that Edge would ever be cleared to wrestle again. Ever. Like, no. And at this point, Edge had been retired so long that, you know, even if he could, we would have thought that he wouldn't really be in shape to make a return anyway, you know, because he is getting older now. But shockingly, obviously there were some rumors going around at the time, but I don't think anyone, or at least most people, expected him to return that night at the Royal Rumble. And it was just an absolutely incredible moment. It was so emotional. You could really see his emotions when he came out. You could see the tears in his eyes because you can tell that he himself, probably more than anyone, didn't think he would have the opportunity to do this again. This is a guy who was in the absolute prime of his career. He had achieved so much and yet still had so much left in him and was forced to retire when he was literally at the top of his game as champion. And yeah, that is why it makes my top three. It is just an incredible moment of, yeah, a very lucky man who was able to recover from a life-threatening injury and, I guess, relive his dream again.
Yeah, I totally agree with everything you said. Just watching his retirement speech back in, was it 2011 or something? Was it 2011?
Yeah.
And then just seeing that and thinking, shit, you know, he's one of the best that we've seen and, you know, he has to give it away. He's never going to be able to do it again. And then just to hear his music hit for the Royal Rumble, like even my son, who he's 12, so he didn't see a lot of Edge like grow like in his prime. But he knows who Edge is, and he literally jumped out of the chair when he heard his music. And we've just both looked at each other, and I've gone, "Holy shit!" You know, I just couldn't believe it. It was so well done. And I don't know if you guys have seen the special on the WWE Network. They went backstage with him. They went into his life and how he said, "Look, I don't want to go to the performance center to start training because I don't want anyone to know I'm coming back." So Vince sent a ring to Edge, and he set it up in a warehouse, and it was him and Beth Phoenix and one of the Revival guys who he was good friends with, who was training in the ring to get him back into shape. And he had, I think, you know, he wanted to come back, but I think the push of Beth Phoenix actually helped him to decide to come back too. And just to see, he looked so much better when he came back to compared to when he was wrestling. He was ripped. He looked amazing.
Yeah.
And I've also got to say, he did have a good match with Randy at WrestleMania. I thought that was a really good match.
Yeah, and I completely agree.
He can still go.
He can still absolutely go. Obviously, as we all know, I'm a huge Randy Orton doubter, but I really fucking enjoyed that.
There was
that
one
match.
Great part in that match. One great part. Sort What's of that? A ode to Chris Benoit.
No.
Where
what was that? I can't remember. No, the weight.
The weight bench. Yeah, the weight. The weight rack thing.
He is Canadian. So.
True. That's right. That's right. Yep. But no, look, Stace, excellent pick. I don't think you can have a greatest comebacks without having this guy on there.
Yeah.
It was good. Like just the, even in like hindsight, when you hear, you know, I mean, there were rumors, obviously. Oh, you know, is Edge going to be cleared? He might be in the Rumble, all that sort of stuff. But then, like, obviously, you know, there's lots of things that's rumored to happen, and then they do happen. It's like, oh yeah, we kind of knew it was coming out or whatever. But like this one still had an impact, and probably because of the whole like forced retirement thing, as opposed to just like someone coming back that hasn't been in for a while. Like, you know, like someone like Jericho, for instance, where he kind of walked away from it for a bit and then came back. It was like he could have been there the whole time if he wanted to. So that doesn't like detract from any returns that somebody like that makes. But even like The Rock or people like that, but like when they are forced to retire and can't do it anymore, then that's a big deal. So I think for him to be able to come back in the Rumble and with the when we had a crowd, especially. And just to get the pop and all that. And then in hindsight, you listen to the words in his theme song, and it's very much about like coming back and, you know, I couldn't do this anymore and now I'm back again and all that kind of stuff. And like, it was like, oh, wow, okay, yeah. It was sort of, it's spooky how like, it was like it's eerie how the words to his theme song that he'd had for ages now have a, like a different context to them. When you think of like that, he had to retire and you probably never thought he'd come back again. Like I remember when he did retire, he was like, all right, I'm just going to do my entrance like once more because I want to, you know, and he basically like went out and then they played his music and he came out and did his entrance again just to be like, this is, I'm doing this for the last time kind of thing. So, because he wanted to have that moment. And like, so for him to then be able to do that again and properly in the Royal Rumble of all things, and especially lately because the Royal, it's always like so and so is going to be back in the Rumble, and this person's going to be back.
Kenny Omega is going to win it. Going to win it.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. And it's like, and then even people that do come back, it's like, yeah, but if some like old timer or someone comes, like if Rob Van Dam comes back in the Royal Rumble, like you know something like that, or Scott Steiner or whoever, even 10 years ago, it's like, yeah, but they're not going to win it, so. Yeah.
But the thing also about Edge coming back in the Rumble, he went to the Final Four, didn't he? So, you know, Vince knew he could trust him to put on the story. And it really obviously showed later on with Randy Orton. But, he went to the Final Four. So he was in there for a while too.
Yeah, Yeah, it was good. It reminded me a bit when like Kurt Hennig came back in the Rumble of 2002 something. Yeah, it'd be around then if it's not. Yeah,
I think. Because he died soon after that, didn't he?
I think so, yeah. And then he was in like the final three. At the end, it was like it was Austin, Triple H, and Kurt Hennig. It was like, this is awesome. Like, what does Kurt Hennig do?
Yeah,
you know, like, yeah, it was just
like you believed that they could actually win it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it was like, it that seemed to be to me to show like the respect that like probably Austin and Triple H had for him because it was well, the third guy in with you guys is going to be Kurt Hennig. Yeah, okay, great, like.
Yeah.
Like he wasn't just another like a WCW guy that was coming in. It's like because he was obviously WWF first and all that, and all those guys would have respected him. So I thought that was cool that they did that. And that's what it reminded me of when Edge was in the final four or whatever of that Rumble he returned in. So and then yeah, like you said, Stevie, he came back in like the best shape he's ever been in. So
oh, it's amazing.
Yeah.
So much. Oh, wow.
I mean, even Orton in that match was like rubbing his abs and being like, look at you. You know, like, what the fuck? Like, what happened to you? Like, you're shredded, bro, you know? So.
Well, they did fuck up his first spear, didn't they? They didn't get the camera on it properly.
I've never liked Edge's spear anyway, to be honest. Like,
I know, but it's a nostalgia thing to see him come back after being out for so long to hit that first spear. Like,
you still got to get a shot of it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So
you literally had one job.
Yeah, it's like when AJ Styles came in the Rumble and they focused on Roman Reigns. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It's like Kevin Dunn's gone to the school of like a lot of quick cuts. Like makes me look like I'm a good director. It's like, no, you're directing TV, you're not directing a movie. It's completely different. TV's like camera one, camera two, what's the best shot? What are you meant to be looking at? Well, everyone's meant to be looking at Edge, so show Edge, you know. Like, everyone's meant to be looking at AJ coming out for the first time, not Roman's reaction. So that's another story. But I think that's a good pick to have Edge. I mean, especially for recent times. Like, I mean, that's got to be up there for sure. Considering that then, he goes on to win the next Rumble. So for sure.
I hope he gets another run. I really do.
Yeah, that's it. If
he doesn't, you know, he's still going to be one of the best ever.
Yeah, he's already kind of cemented that. Beforehand, you know what I mean? Like, he didn't have to come back. So I think that he's hopefully they can give him, you know, some, like, I thought the match at Mania was good with him and Roman and Daniel Bryan, but I don't know, he needs just something different. I don't know what it is, but I hope he can, like you said, he can have a proper run, and whether he gets the title again or what, but I mean, he doesn't really need it, but it'd just be cool to see. So
when he hit AJ with that spear and AJ over rotated and fucked his shoulder, I was really hoping that they were going to build up to an Edge AJ sort of feud. And you know, I wouldn't mind if Edge had a tag team partner and they fought that fucking beast of a man and AJ and you know, just get a tag title again. You know, that's where it all started for him. So
well, that's the thing. It's like, well. AJ can have a feud with anyone because at the end of the day, the match is going to be at least decent, you know?
Seven stars.
I mean, even like you could have, like, I mean, I don't think they ever had a match, but like when he was in TNA, like Hogan had a few matches, and that was Hogan, like when he was never great in the ring, but like Hogan in 2009 was atrocious. But I mean, if he had a match with AJ Styles in 2009, it still would have been okay because they would have just played to his strengths and stuff like that. So
that's right.
It's the same way that like I think the Hogan Billy Kidman matches are really quite good because it's like you have the big monster guy and the small little underdog, but it's the opposite because the small little underdog is this little shitheel. So
yeah.
You wanted to see the little guy get the fuck pummeled out of him, you know? So
He was banging Torrey Wilson, so I wanted to see him get the fuck pummeled out of him anyway.
Well, that's right, yeah. But no, but I think something like that where like Edge and AJ, I mean, it would be good because like we said, even if Edge was like, oh, I just need to tone it down a bit because I'm a bit older and I'm not as fast as I used to be and things like that, AJ could still, I mean, not that AJ is some spring chicken either, but like he's still clearly at the top of his game as far as in-ring. So no, I'd be down for that. Even if they'd end up going with like just like Daniel Bryan and Edge, I think that would have been good.
That
as
would
well.
Have been awesome. Yeah.
So, but yeah. I mean, they sort of shit on a lot of them, but someone like Shinsuke or, you know, those sort of, like, I've always thought he was a bit overrated with his in-ring technique, at least what they did with him in NXT and WWE. I can't speak about his New Japan stuff, but like,
yeah, for being. But you've got to, Greg, have you got to speak about that?
Yeah. But I mean, Edge would bring the best out of him and stuff like that. So,
for sure.
But yeah, but no, definitely Edge's return in the Royal Rumble there. Considering that he was retired for all intents and purposes, that's definitely a worthy pick.
Yeah.
So, Steve, who do you have for your choice?
Well, I did have Edge, but I've got another one. Going back to January the 7th, 2002. This episode of Raw is probably, apart from the Dolph Ziggler cash-in, this is probably the biggest pop and the loudest crowd I've heard on a Raw episode of Raw when Triple H returned from injury. Basically, they just all episode, they were like, the game's coming back, the game's coming back, the game's coming back. They left it to the last segment. He came back, could not say a word over the crowd. It was just amazing. The fact that he left a heel. He was in the two-man power trip with Steve Austin, and I think everyone's heard about him tearing his quad and being put in the lion tamer from Jericho. Guy's tough as nails, honestly. Probably one of the toughest guys in wrestling. But just to come back and have this massive pop and crowd just going wild for you for a good 5 minutes at least. I mean, that's probably one of the best comebacks, even though it's not a comeback into a match as such, but just the whole thing around Triple H coming back when he did.
That was actually one of mine as well.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. I know we don't double up a lot, but we all do amongst each other. But yeah, there are some where I'm like, oh, someone will have that, so I won't pick it. Whereas this one, I had to pick it because, yeah, that pop that he got is one of the biggest. I would put, I mean, you'd have to sit down and watch them all consecutively to actually definitively decide, but that would be one of the biggest pops of all time, at least top five. So.
Definitely.
Yeah. Definitely the biggest of his career.
Oh, yeah. 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 And like Steve said, like he went out as a heel, like probably the top heel in the company at the time, because even though Austin was a heel, fans were still kind of cheering him and stuff, you know, whereas Triple H was the full on, he'd been on a full on heel for a while. But then, yeah, for him to come back, it was huge. I remember there being a, it was something going, it was when the Invasion was on.
And so you missed that storyline because of this.
Yeah. And, like they had something, and I think it was, it's like the Macy's Day Parade or something like that. Like, you know what I mean? Where they have the parade. I think it's in New York. I could be wrong.
Yeah, yeah, yep.
15 Americans are like, it's in New York, idiot. They're like,
how do you not know that, man? Yeah. Come on, it's Macy's Parade.
Come on, man. What the fuck? but like, they showed a clip of like, these are the WWF balloons or whatever it was at the Macy's Day Parade, and like, he was on one of the floats, and it was all of like a 5 second shot of him, and the crowd like in the stadium went berserk. Like you could hear him being like, "Aah!" And I was like, oh shit. Like, yeah, they really miss him. So yeah, when he came back, like there's no rhyme or reason for it. It's just like, okay, he's a babyface now. So, but I mean, good on him for actually understanding that like he's going to come back to a big pop because he's been gone for a while, and especially after the Invasion, because you've gone through this whole thing of like, no, the whole invasion was designed for you to love the WWF guys like more than ever. And then like Rock, Austin, you know, Jericho to agree, you know, Kurt Angle, Undertaker, all these kind of guys. And then the one major WWF guy that wasn't there is finally come back, and it's like been like 9 months or whatever. And like people, of course they're going to cheer him, but I still don't think they expected it to be that massive.
No, I don't think I did.
Yeah. But yeah, I had that on one of mine just for the sheer, and like it, you could tell that like it really amped up Triple H. Like he did have that sort of, yeah. He had the water bottle spit entrance and all that first, you know, for a while, but like he came back to that huge pop, and he was like three times the size that he was as well.
Oh yeah, he was roided up big time.
He's like, I can't, and just
oh, I mean, yeah, he worked out, sorry.
But like even with all the gear, like I guess he's sitting around being like, well, I can't do leg day because I've got a fucking quad injury, so I'll just, I don't know, lift some more fucking weights with my arms, and he just got massive. So,
but did you see they did this? They did a little vignette of him backstage getting at the doctors and that, and his legs were still fucking massive even after he had the surgery. So,
it. But I mean, Eddie Guerrero had the same thing. I remember he went up.
Yeah,
he was injured. He did a knee or an ankle or something, and he came back huge, like in the upper body. Randy Savage, I remember coming back. Came back from like a broken leg, and he was like massive up the top. And I was like, "Holy shit!"
And those steroids must be good healers.
Yeah, that's it.
I will say it is. Like I'm not doubting that he was fucking huge because he was, but it is enhanced by the fact that he's wearing a fucking huge leather jacket and a denim vest.
And a denim.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, yeah, I know.
That's true. Yeah.
Like I'm just saying. I'll look like I've worked out a little bit more if I rock up to work in that tomorrow.
From memory, though, I think he does. I think, is that, if I remember it correctly, like Kurt Angle attacks him after he makes the return, and he does take his shirt off and do the big pose. And it was like,
I think so. Yeah. I think he does.
Like, holy fuck. Like, the dude is huge.
It's the first time you've seen him that big, really. Like,
like he got big, but this was another level. Yeah. It was like, holy shit. But yeah, it definitely looks three times his actual, even massive, you know, Conan the Barbarian body that he's got. It looks even bigger with the two jackets on. and his wet hair that makes him like, you know, his head looks smaller than his body. But yeah, I had to go with that, like just for the sheer like impact of the cheer they're coming out, and it wasn't like, it wasn't a surprise, it was like after the break he's back, here he is, everyone knew he was coming. But
and they were doing vignettes to the Beautiful Day by U2
even during that episode of Raw, I remember him talking to people in the back, like they were talking to Big Show and stuff, and it was like, yeah, having Triple H back, like it just sets the bar, and we all know like he makes a difference around here, and just all that kind of like what's the word, like fake shoot, you know, it was like part shoot, part kayfabe thing, where it was like, yeah, like Big Show is saying that as Big Show, the character, is in like, yeah, because Triple H is such a great guy because he's a babyface now and he's the best there is and this kind of stuff, but he's also saying it as like the actual, like
as Paul White.
So they even like, everyone knew he was coming. Here he is. Okay. And then hit the music and it was still massive. So
I think he was back a bit earlier than he was supposed to be too, because everyone was saying how, like, and we all know how big a work ethic he had.
Oh, but, for sure.
Holy fuck. Sorry to interrupt, but I just wanted to catch the end of this just to see how ripped he is under the giant jacket. Fuck, he is so ripped.
Yeah. I remember
because like his shoulders look like it's like you inflated a balloon. And it's like at the point where it's about to pop.
It's like you want to play the game.
Oh god.
And you hit him with, jeez. And he pops his quad and he's like
Oh shit! Because he did it again a couple of years later, didn't he? Did the same? Was it the same one or a different one? The other one.
Did he?
I don't know. Yeah, he did another one. Yeah, I think it might have been the other one. I think. I'm not
and
sure.
He finished. It was when he was with. I think it was when he was in a match with Shawn Michaels, wasn't it? They were a tag team, and he did it as DX.
It could be. Yeah, I'm not sure, but I do remember him being like, "Oh, he's got another quad injury," but it wasn't as bad. But it was still.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that one he tore it completely off the bone, so it had to be reattached, and I just can't imagine the pain he would have been in. Fuck now.
Yeah.
You want to talk about pain, motherfucker? I can talk about pain.
That's right. But did you finish the match, Steve? That's what we're talking about.
Oh, I tapped out. No. I'm just a ref, man. I'm just a ref.
Just make sure that when you return to the local shows, just make sure to get a leather jacket and a denim vest, all right?
Yeah.
Just to make that. Yeah. Utmost of that return.
That's and I could take steroids and get really big and that won't work.
Oh, I was gonna say I'll bring the balloons.
That'll probably work a lot quicker.
Oh, stuff them in the jacket. Like if you zip it up, we'll just stuff them full of balloons.
Yeah, there we go.
Look at me, I'm the game.
I'll take on Luxford for the wettest hair.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that one. Just as we move on, I think that one, for the sheer magnitude of the pop, I think one of the other pops I could compare it to would be when Austin came in to save Stephanie from The Undertaker. Like that kind of huge, like everyone knew he was coming, but when he finally was there, it was like, oh, there he is. You know, it was this massive pop. So yeah, I definitely had to. Normally, like I said, I try to pick something else if I think one of you guys is probably going to pick it. Just for the sake of the show and sort of having a different topic, but I couldn't go past that one. So,
yeah.
All righty. So that brings us back to you, Stace, for your, I won't say your number two on the list, your second choice. Because we're doing best returns, not worst shitty returns.
true. So number two for me is, it's a return I think I've touched on in previous episodes. It's a memory from sort of my childhood that I'll just never forget. Like it's one of my most prominent wrestling memories because I just remember how much it excited me at the time and it just really stuck with me. And that is The Undertaker returning on March 3rd, 1998, episode of Raw is War. So for those that might need rejog of the memory, which I won't blame you. So basically this was Undertaker's return after a 2-month hiatus. And it was with his feud against Kane. And basically Kane basically set the casket on fire with Undertaker in it.
Jesus,
and
fucking Steve's like right here.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks. Is that when he appeared on the Titantron and did that big speech and rest in peace and all that sort of crap?
Yeah. So he basically Paul Bear's cutting a promo in the ring with Kane and Undertaker's music hits, or at least the gongs hit, and they just keep ringing out. And then the lightning strikes from memory and the casket appears at the top of the stage and Undertaker's laying on it. And let me just say, JR's commentary absolutely elevates the scene like it does many moments like this back in the Attitude Era. And Undertaker sits up and the crowd just goes absolutely nuts. And then he proceeds to get up and cut an absolutely amazing promo against Kane and Paul Bearer. I think he had like a little mic sort of attached to his ear because he wasn't holding a microphone for the promo, but it was just absolutely amazing return, amazing promo, and it just sticks with me still today. Like I can't remember how old I was when I saw it, but I remember because I believed so strongly back then that wrestling was real and Undertaker was one of my favorites at the time. And 2 months is a long time back then, I guess, for someone to be gone off TV, someone that's prominent as the Undertaker, especially given the fact he wasn't put off TV for any injury or anything that I was aware of. And yeah, just I remember when he returned, I was like, I can't believe he's back. Is it really him? And it's just that kind of innocence, you know, of like growing up watching wrestling. It's really special.
So where was that? 98. So what were you, like 9 or 10?
Let me do the math. I'm too old now. Carry on.
Just getting ready to feel real old. That's all. You're already.
Yeah. You're like, I remember it very clearly.
Yeah.
So 98, I was 18.
Yeah. Fuck you.
Yeah. Look, being off TV for that long, what was a masterstroke. I mean, it just you wanted the guys back. I mean, I remember when, you know, CM Punk won the title and he was going to take it to all these other organizations and he was going to piss off, but he was back the next week. It's like,
yeah,
you need to keep them away.
Yeah.
For the crescendo, for the big return, like. But
in point, like Triple H, we were talking about before, he wasn't. He didn't come back and be like a non-wrestling character in the show. He was just gone completely. And then when he did come back, fucking massive. So that was 9 months. But I mean, 2 months in the middle of the in 98, in the middle of the Monday Night Wars, like that was huge to be like, oh, we're just gonna have someone on TV, like one of our main guys, just not on TV for 2 months.
For the record, I was 10 years old.
10. There you go.
Fuck, I feel old.
Oh, Christ. Well, there you go. This show is over.
Yeah. Hey, Greg, it's past our bedtime. We better go to bed.
Oh, it is. I tell you what.
Got to take my pills and go to bed.
Yeah, I've got to put my teeth in a jar. If I can, Get me just a man now, yeah.
God.
I hope Americans know what that is. It's not just, a euphemism. I know what you mean, though, Stacey, because, like, he having The Undertaker come back and, like you said, the coffin's there on the stage and then he sits up out of it and obviously, like, Paul Bearer and Kane, I mean, Kane doesn't even speak, but, like, they sell it as in, like, oh, fuck, like, shit's going down because, they play it up as like, oh, we got rid of The Undertaker. He's gone forever. And here he comes. But that all works, like, just because of, predictable and, I don't know, not obvious, but that sort of thing. Like, looking back at it, you're like, well, of course he's going to come back.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's like anything. It was like Endgame and Avengers, like, nobody was like, oh, they're all gone forever. It's like, they're coming back somehow. Yeah.
You're talking about 9, 10-year-old Stacey who thinks wrestling is like really real. So, I mean, to play to those sort of people, it works.
That's mean 10-year-old Stacey?
10-year-old Stacey. I said 9 or 10.
Oh, I thought you said 19. I was
Nine or 10. 9 or 10.
Okay, my mistake. I was like, I definitely knew wrestling was fake at that point. I strongly encourage anyone who has forgotten about this to go back and watch it. It is still on YouTube. And it's honestly an amazing promo from The Undertaker. Like, he's at the top of his game. And I forgot how good he was on the microphone because sort of as his career went on, he spoke less and less.
Yeah, he started getting too bogged down in the, like, this is my yard and that's respect.
Yeah.
Which is fine, but it was like, big. Can you just, like, be The Undertaker? Whereas, like, in 98, he was The Undertaker. Like, it was none of this.
Yeah.
He's the dead man. Like, we just say that because he's a guy, we see him on motorbikes and we know he's a real person and shit. It was like, no. But, like, back then, even with the internet and stuff, it wasn't the same. There's no Twitter or any of this shit. And, like, he still had that mystique about him because it was like, you didn't see him on, like, the talk shows and stuff like that. So
yeah, that's true.
Or Saturday Night Live or any of that stuff, which they were doing that back then, like The Rock hosted Saturday Night Live and they sort of made a joke out of like Mankind and The Big Show and that, well, we're going to beat him up backstage. And Vince McMahon was there like, no, not tonight, guys. Tonight, we're all the team and that sort of shit, which is cool. But like, you wouldn't have like 1998 Undertaker like doing that shit. So it's just, Yeah, so for the aura and just the general like theatricality of it, I think it's, yeah, like you were saying, Stacey, it's definitely worth like checking it out, whether you can find it. Well, if you can find it on the network, if you're not in America, I'm sure you probably can, like us, because we don't have this Peacock shit that all I'm hearing about is how awful it is. But yeah, if you're in America and you can't find it on the new Peacock system or whatever, yeah, check out YouTube. They'll have it for sure. So
yeah.
So yeah, Undertaker. I thought you might have gone a different way when you said Undertaker before, but yeah, maybe we'll just.
Yeah, it's not the most obvious pick, especially when you think of the Undertaker, but it's one that resonates with me, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah, well, for sure. All right, Steve, which one of mine have you got this time?
Actually, it feels good to take one of yours, Greg. It's usually Stacey taking mine, but
that's it.
I'm going to go to, we all know how special Raw after Mania used to be. Used to be fantastic. You have all these returns, you have all these people coming up, but the one that really made an impact on me was April the 2nd, 2012, when the Beast incarnate Brock Lesnar comes back.
Nice.
You know, Brock Lesnar, well, you know, everyone knows he was the next big thing, managed by Paul Heyman. Did everything you wanted to do in wrestling, had that really good match with Goldberg at WrestleMania. I say that tongue in cheek, of course.
Yeah, that never happened.
He then left, and he was going to be a football star. So he tried out with the Minnesota Vikings, didn't make it. So he went to the UFC and, you know, became UFC champion. USC was throwing up a lot of money. He lost a couple of fights and then he decided to come back to wrestling. So obviously Vince signed him. And this was massive because he came to the ring and absolutely beat the shit out of John Cena. And that was fantastic to see at the time. John Cena, he's been good for the company, I guess, but it was good to see someone like Lesnar come out and destroy him because, you know, as Greg said before, Lesnar has to be shown as the beast. You know, he's got to be the big, tough, bully beast. And he did that with Cena when he came back from Raw. And to make it better, he came back with Paul Heyman as well. So for me, it was a win-win, seeing two of my favorites back.
I almost had this one.
Yeah.
It was when I was looking at research and stuff, I was like, who's come back recently? I think I was like, Lesnar. Yeah, I thought about that. But yeah, I ended up going a different way. But yeah, just that I liked that one because I was genuinely surprised. I hadn't actually heard anything about Lesnar coming back.
Yep. Me too.
Because at that time in wrestling, like, I mean, I, in the Monday Night War and then I used to read the dirt sheets and all that kind of shit and be like, oh yeah, this person's rumored to come back and we'll see if it happens or not, whatever. But like, I'd sort of fallen out of that in the late sort of whatever, the late 2000s. So 2009, 10, 11, 12, whatever. I just couldn't be bothered. And I just would watch it and just, oh, yeah, cool, this is happening. And you would still hear stuff and things like that. But, like, I had no idea that there had been talk of, like, oh, Lesnar's coming back and things like that. Beyond the time when Undertaker went and saw him after his match, I think there was, like, Lesnar had a match, a UFC match with whoever it was. And I think he lost. And then as he was
walking, he got knocked out by Overeem, I think.
Yeah, and then he was, as he was leaving, like, Undertaker was in the crowd and, like, he's, I don't know, probably all, it was probably all set up anyway, but, like,
yeah,
he does, like, Lesnar stops and Taker's just like, do you want to do this thing or not? And it's like, well, all right, and then Lesnar walks away and it was like, well, what's he talking about? Is he talking about, because then there were people were saying, like, is Taker going to be a UFC guy? And it's like, all right, we'll see. But then that, I remember that sort of being a bit of a talk, and then that was sort of the last I remembered of hearing of anything about it. And then the next thing I know, it's like Cena's there on Raw talking shit like he does. And then the fucking music hit. And for a second, I was like, hey, what? Hang on. Who is this? What? And then I was like, oh, fuck, I remember this now. And then he come out. And I was like, holy shit, fucking Brock Lesnar. Like, I was actually surprised. I had no idea he was coming out. So, it was good because it was like, this is what it's meant to be. You know, like you meant to just be watching it and go, what the fuck? Like you meant to be surprised, as opposed to nowadays, like we said, we're like, oh, Edge will probably be in the Rumble. Yeah, cool. It's still awesome when he comes out, but we all kind of, we at least had heard an inkling that it might happen. Whereas for me in this instance, I had no idea Lesnar was back, and Finn to come out and beat the shit out of Cena in that segment, at least. That was great, because that was around like peak people getting sick of John Cena sort of time.
Yeah. So, yeah. I was just about to say people they'd been sick of John Cena for a long time at this point, probably many years, but to see Lesnar return is like, okay, here's a guy who can beat the shit out of Cena and might actually be put over against him, because WWE obviously loves Cena, but as we've come to know, they love Lesnar and they offer him big money to be there. This was a huge surprise to me as well. I remember back then, and this is when like post-Mania Raw used to be an event. I used to take the day off work just to watch it here in Australia, because, you know, it's during a day here.
You just figured out it wasn't evening. Real.
Yeah, you know, I was 19 years old at the time. this was massive. I did not see it coming a mile away. And when Lesnar left last time, like it was from memory under pretty shitty circumstances, and I never thought I would see him back. I don't know about you guys.
No, I didn't think he was going to come back, especially after the way he left him out for that WrestleMania match that he had. Like, it was just like, go and see you later, fuckers.
Yeah, and they sort of made a whole point of like shitting on him too, like him and Goldberg, you know. It was like, oh, we'll get Austin to throw him out of the WWF kind of thing. It was like, whatever, they don't care, they're leaving. So, but it was a bit of that, like, and don't come back kind of thing. Like, well, fuck you guys, you want to leave? It's like, which, fair enough. It's like, if you want to be here, then fuck off. But like, and then it was the shit all gone down with Sable as well, remember? Because even back then I'm sure it was around that time, like even before he had left, I think he was with Sable, if I remember.
I think he was.
And of course,
they've been together some time.
She was going on with her lawsuits and all that kind of stuff. So
that's right.
There was still, obviously, she would have been in his ear to say, well, this, not in his ear as in like, oh, he does whatever she says, but she would obviously be saying, well, this is how they treated me and this is what I think of the company and blah, blah, blah. And so, he's not just getting the one side of things, you know, like, oh, well, Vince told me this. It's like, well, you know, Vince says a lot of things. So,
That's right.
And obviously, like Paul Heyman being, it was always kayfabe manager and that. But I mean, Paul Heyman has legitimately been his, like, what do you call it? Like, guiding him through his career, like, for real good as mates well. Outside. Yeah, yeah, that's exactly. It. So, and then through said, he goes, there's the interview where I don't know if it was on. So it was, might have been the Steve Austin podcast or something. It was Heyman talking, and because he's the one who can get away with what he says. But like, he goes, it was, why they brought you back? And he's like, Brock had to do a promo. Like, he rocked up, he beat up Cena. Yeah, we know he can do that. Then he had to talk on the mic like the next week or the week after or whatever it was. And like, his promo was all right, but. Because even Brock knew it wasn't great. And he walked out the back. And as soon as he walked out to Gorilla, he saw Vince and he goes, get me my Jew.
That's right. I remember.
So they went, all right, cool. And they rang Heyman. They called Heyman and it was like, you want to come back? We need someone to talk for him. And I mean, hey, business is business. You're making the right decision. And clearly, Heyman can talk for anyone. So that's the way to do it. But I do like that return just for the genuine surprise factor for me, because I was like, I had no idea he was coming out. So
And I love the fact he beat the shit out of Cena.
Yeah. Yes, good old Cena. Now it's like, now it's like, where is he? You wish we were back. It'd actually be good for Cena to be in it now. But anyway, careful what you wish for, kids.
True.
I'm going to go it, I don't know, something about 2002. I don't know what it is, but this involves Triple H, but he's not the one that returns. And I'm not talking about a return in like on Raw or in a promo or anything like that. I'm actually going with the match itself. And this is the Shawn Michaels returns at SummerSlam 2002 to take on Triple H.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
In the unsanctioned match that they have. And, you know, Shawn Michaels hasn't wrestled as far as, well, on TV at least, you know, for 4 years. And take it with a grain of salt, all these back injury problems and things like that, because, you know, with Shawn Michaels, is it just, have you got a bung knee or do you just not want to do the favors for Brett? Like, who knows, you know, like, did you lose your smile or do you want a bit more money? Like, you just, you know, who knows? But he's, for whatever it was, they did the story. He came back. They teased DX, Triple H, you know, pedigrees him and beats the shit out of him. And then you've got all the like hitting him in the back with the sledgehammer and all this kind of shit. And I even at the time, I remember being like, oh, cool, that's a good way like that they could get out of it because Shawn Michaels can't wrestle anymore. So they can't have a match. And then it was like, oh, yeah, they are going to have a match. It's like, but how? How are they going to have a match? And then, of course, it's like, well, he's better. So, all right, then we'll see. But the way they did it as well, they did sort of like they gave themselves the opportunity to be able to make excuses if Shawn Michaels got in the ring and really went, fuck, I can't do this anymore. Like, not for the in-ring stuff, because obviously, as good as he was even before the 4 year layoff. Obviously, he's going to know the general mechanics, but just the actual bumps and things like that. Is he going to just take a couple of bumps and then be like, fuck this, it's going straight to my back. Like, I can't fucking do this for the next 30 minutes, you know? So the whole unsanctioned thing, like if they wanted to, they could have just turned it into a hardcore match and it could have just been like swinging 2x4s and chairs at each other and it wouldn't be taken as many. Like, there's still heavy hits to be getting clonked in the head and things like that with chairs and that, but it's not the... you know, the bump on the mat on his back and all that kind of shit. So, but just for the fact that he'd been away for 4 years as far as wrestling anyway, like in ring, and to come back with a quality match like that, like it's unbelievable. And again, the way that it wasn't your typical ending either. Like Triple H is going to pedigree him and then all of a sudden it's like a roll up and it's over. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, it wasn't sweet chin music and warming up the band and all this kind of stuff, which if they had done that, would have been awesome anyway, because we hadn't seen it for so long. And like,
they couldn't have had the same ending.
That's it. And then he gets the quick win and it's like, oh, fuck yeah. And then, of course, yay, he fucking came back and he won and all this. And then, of course, Triple H just destroys him.
Oh, yeah.
So,
but I mean, you look back now and you go, yeah, you know, you should have seen that coming. But at the time, it was just like, oh, you know, they have been friends before. Maybe he's just going to, you know, say, oh, you know, well done, congrats. But then you think, oh, no, it's Triple H. Nah, fuck, he's not going to do that.
Yeah, I mean, and to be fair, I mean, people be like, oh, you fucking Mark or whatever. But, like, they got me with the DX tease as well. Like, I didn't see the pedigree out of nowhere coming. It was like, you know, they're doing the DX thing. And then all of a sudden, holy fuck, like, what's going on? Oh, shit, he's fucking turned on him. Like, so.
Well, you also see I think he was a bit worried about his back because the way he took that pedigree, it wasn't as normal. It was like he was more flat than he should have been, I think. Yeah. And also some of the bumps that he took, you notice he was doing a more Ric Flair style on his hip rather than his back. So I think there was that bit of the, you know, playing on his mind a little bit.
Yeah, a bit apprehensive just to, it's like, well, we'll just see how it goes. But, I mean, obviously in real life he's best friends with Triple H, so the two of them were going to look after each other.
Yeah.
But still, well, yeah, it's...
I love the bit when he's climbing up the top rope and he does the, I'm a bit psycho, and he jumps off the rope with a flying elbow onto the table with him there, with Triple H puts him through the table. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I just, like, the whole match is just like, well, he's not going to do that. oh shit, he is yeah. gonna do that. And then like, oh yeah. No, they're just gonna tease, someone's happening. We know he's not gonna do it because he's not gonna actually do it, because that's gonna legitimately hurt him. And then like, oh fuck, they actually did it. So yeah, shit off the top rope, onto through the tables, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh well, he's not gonna like pedigree him or anything. So, oh fuck, he is gonna pedigree. Oh, it's a roll up, fuck, it's over. Like it was all, you know, like it was one of those times where the knowing that sort of backstory of like the, no pun intended, but like the backstory of his injuries and things like that, like his legitimate damaged body, actually helped you question what was going to happen in the match, because it wasn't just like, well, is he going to do this or that as far as the like the storyline of the match goes, but you were like, well, is he gonna, you know, there was like later in his career, like anytime anyone ever teased power bombing or tombstoning like Austin, it was like, he's not gonna get power bombed. Like Austin's not gonna let you drop him on his neck. Like, way. And every single time he'd get out of it, it's like, yeah, you're not gonna power bomb him. Like it's, Austin's not gonna let you do that. So with this, yeah, it was like, oh no, they won't do that with him. Oh, they did it. Oh, well, they definitely won't do this. Oh, he did it. Like, fuck. Okay. So
I think what made that match so good was that both of those guys just would have had total control of the match. They wouldn't have had an agent booking it. They wouldn't have had Vince overseeing it. They just would have been them two going out there, putting it together.
And if anything, they probably like spoke with like Pat Patterson or someone like that, you know, like just for you know, endings and advice and just general stuff like that. But yeah, it wouldn't be like, okay, guys, like now it's like, okay, go do this. All right, great.
Yeah. So.
But no, I just thought, like, as far as returns go, I thought, well, I need to have a like a return match, and I couldn't go past that one just because,
amazing.
Four years out, and I mean, we always go on about Shawn Michaels on this show, so
I know we all love Shawn Michaels.
Absolutely, my memory is a bit fuzzy on this match, or more so like the timeline of Shawn Michaels returning, because I remember the segment in the ring with like the DX shirts and when Triple H pedigrees him. And I know somewhere around then, like he did the NWO thing. And I just can't remember where it all fit in.
That's how he originally came back. Nash. Nash came out and brought him. Nash came out.
Should we do like an episode on top three, like Cortez?
Triple H, Kevin Nash, done.
Oh no, and Vince. The doom two
Vince
at once.
Two of them. That's right.
Once getting in the ring after in the rumble. Yeah. And then just sat there. What the fuck? We're Batista. Fuck you, John Cena.
That was just sits there, a moment. Like,
yeah.
A moment and a half.
But Nash basically came out and said like, okay, normally, you know, these kind of returns are a bit of a letdown, but this one definitely isn't. And then, yeah, it came up like NWO, then it went HBK, and then out he came.
Yeah.
So,
and that was another one where he didn't have to say much. The crowd just popped and went nuts.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he said anything. They just did. He just came out and danced a bit, and then they did their old like Diesel, Shawn Michaels poses and shit. And then he was NWO for a little bit, but he wasn't wrestling. And then I remember there was a thing they were trying to recruit Triple H into the NWO, and then it was like Willie Wondy, and then they kind of dropped thing. And and then I think Nash might have got injured again, and that killed the whole thing because Hogan.
He's in a tag match. Yeah, they're in a tag match.
That's what it was. Yeah, Hogan had turned face, so that took him out of it. Hall, they fired Hall because he was drunk or whatever he was doing.
Yeah,
and then I think Nash got hurt, and they were just like, well, who we got left. And like that was a time where they put Booker T in the NWO. Like, you know, Booker T's he's the guy that fights the NWO. Like, you know, so.
And just to confirm, was it the same year or the following year that Shawn Michaels won the World Heavyweight title in Elimination Chamber?
I think it's the same year. I think it's like the next pay-per-view or the one.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah.
My timeline's a bit fuzzy, but it's just got to say, isn't it crazy? Like, at the time, this kind of seemed like, this is one last run, you know, like we didn't think this guy would have a chance to kind of do this again, but here he is. But this was just like Shawn Michaels was so great in the Attitude Era, but his best work was after this return. Like, and that's fucking amazing.
Yeah, he wrestled for like another 10 years plus.
Yeah, you know. All my favorite Shawn Michaels matches are pretty much after 2002.
Undertaker, Kurt Angle, Jericho, like, yeah, it's all.
It's how he got his Mr. WrestleMania title, you know?
Yeah. I mean, because before that, I mean, he did have top matches, but it's probably like, what, a couple with Bret Hart.
Brett Taker.
Ladder match with Razor. Yeah, it's Hell in a Cell with Undertaker, things like that. I mean, Sid. I mean, he had good matches with everybody, but like,
yeah.
The top five Triple H, the top five Shawn Michaels matches are probably all post 2002. So,
except for the ladder match with Razor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else would be.
Mm. Yeah. And the screw job. Yeah.
Yeah, but see, that match wasn't that good. Come on.
No, it's not. Neither
was the Iron Man match.
I know, the Iron Man match, like, it's boring now, I think. Maybe it's because, to me, like, you know that you go watching it and you know that it's zero falls until the end and then they do extra time. But, like, maybe if I had watched it, like, live, I would be, oh, wow. But, you know, it was like Steve, you had to go down to the video shop and 8 months later it would be on video.
Yep, Dad would come back and he'd have them, and I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
And then we'd hook up the VCRs together, and we'd have a blank video, and we'd record it onto the blank video.
Yeah, 2002. That's the year of the returns, I tell you, because there's another couple I could go through, but we'll
see. I was thinking of the NWO Shawn Michaels return, but that sort of just slipped out of the list. So.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. I mean, that was definitely a big one. I feel that's got a little bit of, I don't know, this sort of stigma comes off it a bit, I guess, because of it didn't really go anywhere. But having said that, that was still, when Nash came out and said, a lot of the times these returns are sort of a letdown. Well, this one definitely won't be. It's like, oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. And then fucking Shawn Michaels comes out.
You're like, holy fuck.
In an NWO shirt as well.
It's
like, what the fuck? Like, But yeah, definitely. It was a big one. Okay, Stace, on to your third and final pick for best returns.
Yep. All right, back to me already.
Is it for 2002?
No, nope, it's not. Sorry to say. So just going to rip the Band-Aid off with this one. Won't be surprised if it's one of Steve's picks. If it's not, it's definitely an honourable mention. And that is the Hardy Boys at WrestleMania.
Oh, for fuck's sake. I have it up on my computer screen right now, ready to go. God.
Look.
So it's the Stacey and Greg show tonight, everyone, okay? Yeah. Oh, my God.
Well, now the show
it just goes good. To show, it goes to show, I guess, you go back through the episodes, Stacey and I obviously think alike.
We do.
That's right.
As why we have such great chemistry here in AT3, hey?
I think so. That's right.
Yeah.
But I think we need to stop doing this ladies go first crap, Greg, and let me go first.
All right, that's it.
As you all know, ladies go first, so Steve.
Come on, I'm injured. You can't pick on me.
Okay. I'll let you go first in the next episode. How about that?
It's okay. It's all right.
Okay. We'll all right. Anyway, happy to share this pick with you, Steve. I like the Hardys. I don't love the Hardys. I've never been like a hardcore fan or anything.
Yep.
I definitely appreciate their work. I find Jeff Hardy a little boring at times, as I've covered on the show before. but this return was so surprising. I said this before, but I don't think anyone expected this at all. They were brought in as surprise entrants in a tag team championship match, and they won the titles. Like, it's surprising enough that they returned, much less won the titles in their return. And this was huge at the time because Matt Hardy had a lot of success with some other promotions with TNA and Ring of Honor. With his, he completely overhauled his whole gimmick and introduced this broken Matt Hardy thing, which we all know about now. But yeah, he found definitely like a lot of success sort of in these other promotions outside of WWE at the time. And I certainly didn't anticipate in light of this success for him to return to WWE sort of with this look, although he still hadn't kind of touched on it then. They were still appearing as the Hardy Boys per se. But yeah, this was absolutely massive. For anyone who doesn't remember, basically New Day were coming out and they were the hosts of WrestleMania at the time. They'd come out to introduce the next team basically in this match, and they go to sort of start walking down the ramp to suggest that they were the team in this match, and then boom, Hardy's music hits and my God, the crowd went absolutely nuts. Like, I haven't seen a surprise at Mania like that in quite some time.
They absolutely, and I think everyone was expecting the broken Matt Hardy gimmick, but for me to see the actual, whilst he did have some of the mannerisms when he was coming to the ring, just to see the Hardy Boys back, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I remember I was at your house for that one, Steve.
That's right.
I remember sitting there and it was like, they came out and because, you know, oh, who's, we need a new entrant. And like, they teased it really well because I remember sitting there and I thought, oh, they got me, because the New Day come out and then they're in their gear and it's like, well, maybe, maybe guys don't wear your wrestling gear. You know, sort of give it away that it's you, you know, and it's like me being super smart, you know. And then at some point, like, Cole was like, oh, it might be them. They're in their gear. And I was like, oh, way to fuck it up, Cole. Like, good work.
It's not them now.
And then it was like, oh, no, it's the Hardy Boys. It was like, oh, fuck. Okay, great. Yep. Well done, guys. Like, all that shit of they'll be like, yeah, there'll be some guy sitting there being like, well, they're wearing their wrestling gear. And, oh, fucking well done, Cole. You ruined it. And it's like, yeah, that was me. So, yeah, they got me again with that, where it was like, yep, the fucking wrestling smark in me got fucking found out. And it was like, nope, they actually surprised me. So, so that was cool too, just to be like, oh, cool. It was one of those times where you're like, oh, I'm glad to be wrong, you know? Like, it seemed so obvious that it was going to be the New Day, and because that's what they would do a lot of times. It's like, oh, who's it going to be? It's like, well, he's wearing his ring gear, so it's probably him. And it is him, you know. And then, of course, Cole being like, oh, it definitely won't be Randy Orton. And then Randy Orton comes out, you know, like shit like that. So for them to sort of almost tease it as though it was a fuck up, and then that's what they wanted you to think, it actually worked really well, because yeah, they used to be really good at that sort of shit, and now they're fucking terrible at it. So that was probably the last time that they were actually able to surprise people, I think, as far as like, well, not surprise, but like a tease, you know, like, oh yeah, we want you to think this. Ha, we got you because you were wrong. Take that, you know. It is the Hardy Boys after all. So, and then, yeah, just to see them back. And like, they didn't they win the titles in that match as well?
Yeah, they do.
Like, they win, yeah. So, yeah. And then, of course, yeah, they got massive, like, cheers and stuff like that. Just, again, it's a lot of nostalgia. But, again, it's they're away for a while. You got to miss them. So, you know.
Yeah, that's right. They also, I was just reading before, they just worked Ring of Honor the day before as well, because Ring of Honor had their big WrestleMania weekend show and they'd been on that.
That's right. They'd done a few matches with the Young Bucks and stuff, hadn't they, where they were sort of like, they'd win one and then lose one. And then it was like, well, they won't be at Mania because they're at the Young Bucks special flip show in front of three people.
Young Bucks are the best tag team in the world, mate. Come on. You should know that by now.
Which world?
Dave Meltzer's world.
Hey, with the way wrestling is today, they probably are the best fucking tag team in the world.
I really wouldn't know. I don't watch it.
That's what I mean. Yeah, I would be.
I watch some NXT, but that's it.
It was a good return, and it was more of a, like, it was just the old school, like, feel good wrestling return. Like, hey, yep. there's those guys again, and they're going to do what they do. And they won. Hooray. Like, it wasn't, you know, like, you don't have to fuck the crowd every time. So like,
that's right.
So sometimes the obvious is the right thing to do. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, this one might be obvious in hindsight, but I still don't think anyone really. Obvious in the sense that it kind of got spoiled before it happened on the show, but when the rumors were circulating, I still don't think anyone actually believed it. It was like, that, surely not. So there was a lot I could have gone with. Maybe tomorrow I'll think, no, I picked the wrong one, but fuck it. For this one, my third pick is Eric Bischoff returning as the new Raw GM.
Nice.
It's not really a return to WWF because he'd never been in WWF before, but returning to TV and returning to wrestling and all that kind of shit. So, and especially just the fact that Eric Bischoff, of all people, is on Raw.
Yeah.
Like, for all these people that always go, like, CM Punk will never come back because Vince McMahon hates the way he went on about shit and what he did. And
blah, blah, blah. Jeff Jarrett?
That's
Jeff
what I mean.
Jarrett as well. Yeah.
And they'll never come back. All you need to say is like Jeff Jarrett, Bret Hart, the Ultimate Warrior, you know, and then Eric Bischoff of all people. Like, if it's good, for, I hate saying this fucking best for business shit because it's fucking hate it, but like it's true.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
They will, if there's money in it and it's going to work, Vince will do it. He doesn't. Well, for a guy whose ego
put him out
is,
of business.
That's what I mean. And like for a guy whose ego must be as big as it is, at times he can certainly put it aside for, you know, whatever. Yeah. Unless he really had that thing of like, well, it was business. It wasn't personal. It was business. And I'm sure I would have done the exact same thing. And I think that was part of the phone call. I think he said where it was like, I would like to think that if WCW had bought out the WWF, that you would have called me at some point to have a job, you know.
Yeah.
WCW. And I got to say, I don't think he would have.
No, I don't think he would have either.
I think Eric Bischoff would have been that smug asshole that was like, good, I want to see him on the fucking street penniless. You know what I mean? I don't think he'd buy, be like, well, you fought a good fight. How come you, how about you come help me make my company even better?
Yeah.
And I mean, having said that, I don't think McMahon is some saint, but clearly it worked. And I think much like you were saying, Stacey, where some of Shawn Michaels' best stuff was actually after he returned from his four-year layoff, I think some of Bischoff's best stuff was when he was on Raw as the GM.
Yeah, you know, like, I agree.
You know, political correctness notwithstanding with all the fucking hot lesbian action and all that kind of shit. But like,
yeah, that's right.
His feud with Stephanie, where it would, you know, the next day one up each other. And like, I mean, Bischoff dressed up as the old man. Like, fuck, did anyone see that coming? I don't think anyone knew that was Bischoff until he was like, wait a minute. And then started tearing his face off. Like,
you've got 3 minutes.
I genuinely thought it was some old man. And like, I've fucking seen 100 movies with like old age makeup and shit like that. So, they did a good job there. And yeah, just Bischoff and the way he had his feuds with Austin and then Cena and even Bischoff being the one to be like, right, well, if I'm the end of the story, you have to throw me in the garbage truck. Like that's the perfect way from like my character to be written out. And that's the end of Eric Bischoff kind of thing. Like, I just think,
yeah
it's great. Like it's the perfect ending to the Eric Bischoff character. So, the only thing I wish was that they hadn't spoiled it where you see him backstage beforehand. But
yeah, true.
Yeah.
But is that to make sure everybody rings their buddy and says, fucking Eric Bischoff's going to be on Raw and everyone changes the channels and watches it. So, and they get a big spike probably in the ratings and then they can sell advertising for twice as much next week. So as cynical as that might sound, that's probably what it was, but it would have been even an even bigger pop. And make no mistake, he got a fucking babyface pop, like
big time
deluxe on that night because it was not only was it like, hey, we remember him, he was fucking great. It was like, what the fuck? Like, how is Eric Bischoff in the WWF? Like, that make any
That's
sense.
Exactly what I was thinking. How is this happening? Like, what's how can Vince bring the guy in who nearly. It was so close to being out on his ass.
Yeah. I mean, Ultimate Warrior, Bret Hart, like at the end of the day, money talks. And Vince knows that the fans want to see Bret Hart, even like crippled fucking 60-year-old Bret Hart that can't do shit. They still just want to see him in the ring, like standing there with a microphone in his hand, you know, pretending to hug Shawn Michaels. It don't matter. It's Bret Hart. You know what I mean? That's still so
awkward. It was real, goddammit, Dave. Oh. He was sorry, okay? Yeah. He was sorry.
And then Ultimate Warrior, as much as everyone, like, he might have been a piece of shit person, whatever, I don't know, but like massive star, huge fucking star. The Ultimate Warrior is going to be on Raw tomorrow. What? Well, I better check this out because holy shit. So like money talked. But Eric Bischoff is the guy, like we said, that tried to put Vince out of fucking business, like literally tried to take money off his table, like food off his table and money out of his bank account. You know what I mean? Like
it's, yeah.
For Vince to then be like, you know who'd be a good general manager on my fucking show? the guy that tried to destroy me. It's like, wow. So,
yeah.
It's crazy to me that it actually happened. But, I mean, that's wrestling's full of that shit, you know?
Yeah,
exactly. Right.
You never thought you'd see Hogan Rock. Just things like that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's cool. In madness.
Keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
Yeah.
Or as Eric Bischoff says, controversy creates cash.
Yep.
Absolutely.
The main thing I was happy with it was where it wasn't just like a one and done thing. And it didn't just like, it wasn't like, you know, like Hogan and Bischoff, they brought Ultimate Warrior into WCW just so that Hogan could beat him and get his win back. You know what I mean? And then after that, who gives a fuck? It doesn't really matter. He's unhappy. I'll just release him. Who cares? Like, they actually did stuff with Bischoff. It wasn't just, we'll bring him in and we'll like get Vince to humiliate him and he can be in the Kiss My Ass Club or something like that. You know what I mean? It'll make Vince look like a big man and then, yeah, great, whatever. Like they actually used Eric Bischoff as Eric Bischoff, like as this great GM character. Yeah. And he was like fucking with all the, and it was all new too, because you never saw Bischoff with Austin and Cena and these people because they weren't WCW guys. So, I thought that was just, I don't know, it's just something about it. I thought it was awesome.
Oh, brilliant choice. Brilliant.
Yeah. I've said it on this show before and I'll say it again. Eric Bischoff is the best general manager they've ever had, in my opinion.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
He's the best. Even with Vince McMahon, I still think Bischoff is the best heel boss character they've ever had in wrestling.
Yeah.
Because like he just looked, even though he's like a karate guy, he just looks like a guy that if you just got your fucking hands on him, you just wring his neck, you know? Yeah. Whereas Vince McMahon's a fucking brick shithouse. Like, especially in the Attitude Era where he was only like 55 or whatever. It's like, this guy will still destroy you. Whereas,
remember he challenged him to that fight at one of the pay-per-views and he was in the ring and they counted Vince McMahon out.
It was great. And he's got Bischoff has that best smarmy, like fucking shit eating grin. It's fucking great.
Oh, yeah.
This is how good he is. Like he did that shit even in WCW and then of course on Raw and that. And like I watch him and I'd be like, fuck man, what a fucking asshole piece of shit, but I love him so much.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. It's
like,
definitely.
He's so great. Like I understand why he's such a piece of crap, but like that's why he's awesome. So you know, and just the everything he did I thought was pretty good. And like if he had to, you could put a match on and which is he's the first person to be like, was never a wrestler. But I mean, you know, he was having matches with people that it kind of made sense. So the most, what would you call him? Like the most accomplished wrestler I can think of that he had an actual match with was Ric Flair. But that was 50-year-old Ric Flair in WCW who was coming back and the whole storyline was he's a washed up old man. He can't do what he used to do. And, you know, Bischoff had his son turn against him and, you know,
that's right.
And they talk Bischoff up like he's got his black belt in karate and all that kind of shit. So like it kind of made sense. It wasn't like he was having a legit match with The Rock or something, you know, so. And any of those matches where they did, because they put him in a match with Austin, and of course Austin just wipes the floor with him. It's like, well, yeah, of course. Like that's
That's people, what's meant to happen.
That's right. Yeah, you don't want a competitive match. You're just fucking stupid. So
that's right.
And so yeah. So that was our top threes of best returns. Stacey went for the, well, I mean, I hate to say the obvious, but like we said, obvious is not always bad. Obvious is sometimes the best choice. And obviously Edge coming back at the Royal Rumble. Steve and I both had to go for Triple H and his return from the quad injury and the massive pop that he got on Raw with his 14 jackets. Stacey went for Undertaker returning a bit. That's one I don't think many people will pick. So I think that's a good one for like a unique call, Stace, because I don't think that's one that sort of instantly pops into people's heads, but it's definitely a good choice. Undertaker returning on Raw in 98 to what's the word? Threaten Paul Bearer and Kane. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm fucking back and I'm going to kill you. Steve, you went for Brock Lesnar coming back out of nowhere in 2012. And I, of course, went for the Shawn Michaels Triple H return match in the unsanctioned match at SummerSlam 2002, purely for Shawn Michaels' in-ring return. As we discussed just before, I went with Eric Bischoff returning to TV in all his glory. And then, of course, you guys doubled up on the Hardy Boys returning at WrestleMania to win the tag titles. So,
can I give one honorable mention?
Yep, absolutely.
One I mentioned. I know we give Hank shit on this guy, and for good reason, but I'm going with Sean Waltman, X-Pac, when he came back to Raw on 1998, Monday after Mania, or Monday Night Raw after Mania.
Like when he came and back, like the switchback sort of thing? Like
When he came back and joined, and because obviously Shawn Michaels was gone. And Triple H started in UDX, and you know, Triple H did the whole, you know, who do you go to? You go to your friends, you go to the clique, and everyone's expecting, Nash and Hall, but Shawn Waltman comes out. I think that was probably some of his best stuff on the mic and as a wrestler. Oh,
he was super over the back then.
Yeah, massively over. I think that for me, that was probably for the Attitude Era, one of the better ones as well.
Yeah, no, for sure. Definitely. Because that kicked off that whole, like that, like for a lot of people, like that was DX, you know? It was X-Pac, Triple H, China, and the Outlaws. Like that was DX. It was like there was a, you know, a lot of people sort of either forgot or didn't realize, like, well, there was a DX beforehand with Shawn Michaels, you know what I mean? So that was kind of they had a longer run as DX in that sort of, if I remember correctly. So, yeah, that was, I think, like you said, we give him a lot of shit, but there's no denying that he was definitely over, like X-Pac in that
time. Definitely.
I do want to just mention a couple that that I teased before as well. Obviously, 2002, as we were talking, seemed to be the year of the returns because, not only did we have Shawn Michaels coming back as an NWO member, but obviously then he comes back in the ring at SummerSlam. But at the start of the year is when the NWO came back to wrestling at My Way Out 2002. So like 2002's got returns all over it. And just that initial like promo when they come and they open the show and like they give the mic to Nash first and he does this sort of normal Nash shit. They hand it to Hall and the crowd just goes berserk because they're waiting for the hey yo, you know, and then he does and he gets the big pop and then they hand off the mic to Hogan and the crowd was cheering for him and it was like,
no, whoops,
you don't think you're meant to be doing that, guys. Like,
nope.
So just the respect that the crowd had for those three guys for being the NWO, like it wasn't about Hogan, it wasn't about Nash, or anything. It was just the NWO and what that meant to wrestling. I think there was a lot of genuine wrestling fans in the crowd that day that were like, yeah, like, fuck yeah, like this is the shit. So, I do want to mention as well, Stace, when you said Undertaker before, I thought you might have been going Undertaker at Judgment Day 2000.
Yep.
When he returned as American Badass for the first time. Because I know a lot of people shit on that gimmick. I always kind of liked it personally. I liked it.
I didn't have anything against it.
Yeah, I liked it because it was at a time where it was like, yeah, I like that he's not the corny, like, vampire zombie dead guy. Like, I like that he was just this fucking dude. Like, it was,
yeah,
you know, it was, I don't know, it was cool.
I think it was good because it broke up his career a bit. Broke, you know, so yeah. It wasn't.
I just thought it was like time. Everything about wrestling was sort of starting to go away from that sort of hokey shit, you know? And it was like,
yeah,
all right, he's just a fucking, like, he's just a massive dude who will kick the shit out of you and like powerbomb you through the fucking mat. And like, well, it doesn't make any sense that he's called Undertaker anymore. It's like, well, it does because he will kill you, like, yes, and get rid of yeah. your body. So it's like almost like an ironic name now, you know what I mean? Like, he's not a literal Undertaker. He's the Undertaker because he'll drag your fucking corpse out of the building. You know, like,
yeah.
It just, I don't know, I thought it was cool. But that particular moment when he does return is fucking great. Like, that's another huge pop. And like, he comes back and it's like, holy fuck, is that the Undertaker? Like, he's just wearing jeans and he's on a motorbike and like, he cleans the ring of everyone in it. Like, it was just holy shit. Like, it was a real, it was like a debut almost, but I mean, which it was for the character, but it was, you know, it was like he'd never, like, it was almost like if that was like he'd gone to WCW or something, you know what I mean? Or
yeah,
back and forth. It wasn't like he's come back to the same company. It was just, yeah, so had to go with that.
Yeah,
but yeah, Stacey, did you have any honorable mentions?
Honorable?
Yeah.
I've got the best words. I totally have all the best words.
I'll give a honorable mention to the Dudley Boys in 2015. So this was post SummerSlam Raw. And basically New Day just defended and won their titles. And Dudley's came down and kicked their ass basically. And this was a super awesome return and even more awesome for myself because I was there at the event. Nice. That was a huge surprise at the time.
Oh, that's cool. Nice. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's plenty of...
I will... Sorry, Greg. Yeah. I also have to mention the same night, actually, Sting returned on Raw. So, there you go.
Ah, there you go.
That's cool. Yeah. I don't know. Sting gets a lot of shit. I always like Sting.
I just would have liked to see him do a bit more like in WWF or WWE earlier, like not as
It was a little bit like, oh, I don't want to go there. It's like, yeah, everyone just should have gone there. Like,
just go and get your 10 million and go on a holiday.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. I had to mention too, real quick, when Mick Foley was having his feud with Triple H, when he was Mankind and he's like, I can't beat you anymore, this kind of thing, and he just pulled his mask off and opened the shirt and Cactus Jack was back. It was like
nice,
and just the mannerisms awesome. And the voice and everything just changed, and it was like, yeah, fuck yeah, because like Cactus was always my favorite of the Foley characters, so it's corny as shit, but all like the bang bang, like all that shit, I fucking love that. It's just great.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
But yeah, but some definite awesome honorable mentions there. But like we said, we picked our top threes for best returns. If you have any of your own that you want to mention, by all means, follow us on Twitter at AussieTop3. And of course, I'm at GregT13. Stacey is at Little Sherby, and Steve is at Stinger57. But of course, all roads lead to at the Steel Cage. But until then, this has been episode 20 of Aussie Top 3. And until next time, we'll see you next time.
Don't forget to check your hot water bottles.